You want to get a glimpse of pure religion? How about taking care of the orphans and widows? How about putting what you believe to work and making a difference? Okay, that, you want religion? There you go. Even in the Old Testament, Isaiah, speaking by the Spirit of God, God speaking through Isaiah, rather, says all this groveling around in sackcloth and ashes and ceasing from this and ceasing from that and not eating and all the other. He said, this isn't the fast that I have chosen. He says, take care of the poor and the needy and the hurting and the down. Jesus repeats this in Luke chapter 4. And, you know, religion can just be downright mean. I'm going to deal with fasting, and some of you may not like it. It'll be part of our discussion over the next few months. And some other things. You want to fast? Go ahead. I believe that the Lord can lead you. I'll just give you a little tidbit. I believe the Lord can lead you into a place without any religion or constraint involved where you just... I've fasted more by accident than I ever have on purpose. And I believe for the New Covenant believer, that's the way it ought to be. It chokes you up. No big deal. It doesn't separate us. We still believe in Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the gifts, His second coming, everything else. But anything that we believe we have to do to twist God's arm, fasting is for you. If it's for anything, it's not to change God. He has already done everything He's going to do. He's just waiting on you to do something with what He's already done. The kingdom of God is on the inside of you. He's waiting for you to release it. Where do you get that from? Well, for starters, Ephesians 3:20, which says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, Ephesians 3:20. Some of you ought to be writing that down. You ought to have this memorized. Now unto him that is able to do, Ephesians 3:20. Are you here this morning? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Holy moly. Have you figured that out yet? I haven't. I'm still trying to get the gray matter wrapped around that. But the Bible says it's true, Jim. It's in there. Somewhere. All the power that I need. So my understanding of this word helps me by revelation, information to revelation, understand in greater depths, greater heights, what He's already done, not what I need Him to do. And He's on the inside of us. How many love Jesus today? Amen. Religion has not done much good for anybody. And it's sad, as I said last week, you'd think that by announcing the gospel and explaining the pure gospel, that people would just crowd into a place. And they may. I believe some wheels are turning and things are changing. In our nation, there's some scary stuff going on, but we must trust the Lord of the harvest. He has a way of... Anyway, I won't get into all that. Let me just stop right there. Where was I at? No, I got all that. It's already done. I don't like religion. That's true. The thought that, you know, we have this idea that because we preach the gospel, there's a lot of people say they preach the gospel, but they're not preaching the gospel. They're preaching the gospel plus. And when it's the gospel plus, it's not the gospel. My Bible says in Romans 1:16, this is where we started last week, that Paul's announcing by the Spirit of God, I'm not ashamed, Romans 1:16. Hey, people of God, Sunday morning, here we are, we're in church. Romans 1:16. Write it down, know it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16. Got to know it for you. Hearing me talk about it and getting chill bumps about me talking about it, you've heard me say it before. It's like listening to somebody else take a shower, but you can climb in yourself. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it, what it? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You look up that word, so-so. Another tense, soteria. It literally says, quite clearly, salvation, preservation, healing, and deliverance. The gospel. You'd think people would crowd in to hear it. And as I said earlier, they may. But it's not typical. Especially in America, in this postmodern, I mean, we are so religionized. People like their fences. They like their law. Their law gives them security. And you take away their security, but they have to think and pray and move in a new freedom. It freaks them out. And they run with their tail between their legs back to their religion, for there they find a twisted sort of security in which there is no freedom. How many are glad today for the truth of the gospel? And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I want you to turn this morning, if you would, to the book of Mark. Again, we're going to be doing a better way to put it, a fairly loose exposition of the book of Galatians. And I'm starting there. Instead of Romans, we're going to be looking a lot at Romans. If you are new with us this morning, or new to some of this thinking, or all of this is just a little different, I'm gonna read a devotional from Brother Joseph Prince, and I'll let you know where it's at, where you can find it, that explains one of the reasons why I love this theme and why we should never move far from it, because all other themes for the believer under the new covenant should come from this, out of this central flow. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 2. I love this account. Notice I said account, not story. Grandpas and grandmas, don't tell your kids these are stories. We have stories. We have stories at school. We have stories here, good stories. These are not stories. These are accounts. These are not Bible stories. These are accounts of things that happened. And he is, Hebrews 13:8, the same. Did you hear that? Are you writing it down? I'm going to say it again. Hebrews 13:8. Is that new to you? Write it down. Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did it then, he never quit. He's doing it now. Absolutely. How many know he is not only our Savior in the sense of salvation of the human spirit, but he is our Savior in every sense of the word. Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. What word was he preaching? He didn't have the epistles. What word was he preaching? He didn't have the gospels. He didn't have any of our new, what is called our New Testament. What word was he preaching? Well, I can give you a little glimpse of it. Hold your finger in Mark 2. Jump over to Luke. I can give you a good idea of the word that he was preaching and the impact that it had on people. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught, here it is again, he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Of course, that changed quickly when the reality of what he was proclaiming began to come out. He wasn't just a rabbi, teacher, master. This guy was claiming oneness with God. You know, persecution will come to you the minute you truly get a hold of grace and you get a grasp of the fact that we have been made one with him and act like it. Okay, here we go. Returning the power of the Spirit into Galilee, where there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book, and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon them. And he began to say unto them, boy, can you see that? And then he said, "This day is this scripture." Oh, man. He better know who he is. Because you're either a raving, wild, crazy man, or you are him. The I am manifest in the flesh. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Wow. There's a little peek at the kind of stuff that was going on. Now go back to Mark 2. And he preached, last part of verse 2, chapter 2. And he preached the word unto them. So the response, I love how people say, well, you know, that was just something that God did back then. And, you know, it's about spiritual healing now. You know, it's not really about physical. God's not, you know, the most important thing that there is that people get saved. They get born again. All this emphasis on healing and all this emphasis on this other stuff, you know, that we ought to be concentrating. That stuff is not really, God's not interested in that anymore. He doesn't do that stuff anymore. He did that then to declare who he was, and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Jesus said he did these things to fulfill what had been prophesied about him. Are you here today? He commanded his apostles to go and do the same thing, and others that followed him. Powerful stuff. How many are glad for Jesus today? Amen. How many know he has not changed at all? All right? People say it's just spiritual healing. I want you to notice their response to his message. Notice their response to his message. Here was their response. And they came to him bringing one sick of the palsy. This happens over and over and over and over again. They came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, King James saying, when they couldn't get through the crowd, all right, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They let the bed down. You've seen all the pictures, I'm sure. Those who've been around church and remember flannel graphs when you were a kid, before all the stuff we have now. Letting the, all right, somebody said, what? When Jesus saw their faith, notice the response. They brought the sick of palsy. His message caused hope of the gospel to rise in them, giving way to faith. And the Creator of all that is, now standing in flesh, says, I recognize faith when I see it. That's pretty awesome. Jesus saw their faith. Notice it didn't say he saw how sick the guy was and how good of a guy he was and how much he deserved. I mean, they went to all that work. I can't leave here and let them down. So we've got to do something here. That's not what he said at all. He recognized one thing, faith. Are you growing in faith? I am. I hope you are. You don't need more faith, just grow in the faith that you have. That's what the Bible tells us. All right? They let the, it says here, Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of palsy, arise and be healed from this day forward. Are you reading your Bibles? Does your Bible say that? What does your Bible say? Wait a minute. Sick of palsy, let down through a roof, Jesus recognizes their faith, opens his mouth, and goes, pew! Know what a ricochet is? That's almost what this feels like, especially to the religious. I'm shooting this way. It's headed this way. Somebody duck. Somebody duck this morning because you've been jammed up with religion and wedged deep down in the deepest part of your understanding has been an ungodly division between forgiveness and healing. It is the same. Same fountain, same God, same Spirit, same everything. No difference at all for God. It's just as easy. It's hard for us to receive because it's been driven so deep. It's been separated by religion. But God does not see any difference between forgiveness and healing. It's just as easy for Him to heal as it is to forgive. For he sees no difference. Look at what he says in reference to this man. He saw their faith. Read your Bible. It's in your Bible. This isn't a Mormon Bible. This is your Bible. He saw their faith. I lost my place. And he said, son, verse 5, thy sins be forgiven you. Excuse me? Yeah, but I don't know what that has to do with right now. It absolutely does. I preach it. We'll cover it. Don't worry. There's no license for sin here. We absolutely believe that sin absolutely does have consequence. Sin is stupid. Sin invites death in your door. We got it. But that's now an issue between you and your choices. For in reference to your Father in heaven, sin for you has been fully dealt with. And we will get to that. Hang with us. Don't, listen, I'm taking my time. We've got several months. And let me stop right here because I appreciate my brother's, he's concerned. And I got it, because there's a lot of sloppy, agape, and lacy, gracy, and a lot of right now, while the gospel of grace is being preached, we're watching people fall right back into the same old ditches. I said last week in our men's Bible study, if this ever becomes a list of rules, or it becomes simply a message, it will build a bridge right back to sin. But here's what you'll always see me do. It always is going to be in relationship with Jesus that we see these truths. And your attempt to modify your behavior and to sin less in your own power will set up a law that will guarantee, as was with Peter, though the rest of you may desert him, I will never. Three times amidst cursing, as the rooster crowed, he denied the very one who said, Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. And then he sealed the deal when he was, I'm preaching the gospel now, when he was crucified, buried, and resurrected for you and I, so that now, standing as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, conqueror over death, hell, and the grave, said, I'm going to get out of here and send you the Holy Ghost, and I'll always be with you. Are you with me? So hear me out. Now, if you got questions, write this down. I will not answer your emails. If they're more than a couple of short paragraphs, I probably won't even read them. But if you have real questions about this theme, if you go off into end times or how I feel about, what so-and-so believes, I'll just delete it and we'll move forward. But if you have questions about this theme over the next several months, questions, write it down, questions@cvfamilychurch.com. I encourage you to use it. I'm reading your questions, and it'll help us know where people are struggling, because we want to help you. I don't want to just preach at you. I want to break bread together as we grow. Because listen, there's a lot of people that live in perpetual religious frustration, and the gospel sets men and women free. One more thing about that. The Bible says when we get a hold of the truth, Hebrews 10 says, worshipers, not, this isn't a Mormon Bible I've got, this is your Bible. Hebrews 10 says, worshipers once purged, no longer should have any consciousness of sin. That's not being preached, because that's a hard one to get around, hard one to get over, hard one to get under, so we just kind of ignore it. But your Bible says that what Jesus did is so complete that if we truly embrace what he said, we would not be sin conscious, even though we all fail. And we are, as I said last week, if you were with us, major key, quick to repent. And I'm going to talk about that more. Quick to repent and quick to forgive. What does repent mean? Oh, I recognize truth. I'm making a change. It's not condemnation. It's not bawling and squalling. Are you with me? Repent says, oh, okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I was going the wrong way. I repent. I'm making a change. Amen? We good now? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Good stuff. We're going to talk about that. If you were here with us during our teaching on sowing and reaping, you found out that I believe God's way for blessing is sowing and reaping. I do not believe the world's lie of karma, which is you reap what you sow, in reference to sin. I believe that the Bible makes it clear that there is consequence versus reaping. And it hurts. And it causes people who either are ignorant or rebellious in their faith to live hell on earth. But he has come to give us life, and life more abundantly. But I believe the more, D.L. Moody put it this way. You've heard it 100 times. You've been around here any while. Maybe it's new for you. D.L. Moody said something that I think is so powerful. He said, right believing will produce right living. If you're trying to change the way you live to believe right, you will perpetually, as Peter, find yourself in a deeper hole. The quicksand of works. But if I can get you to believe right, you'll sin less by accident than you ever did on purpose. So let's get the horse back in front of the cart. I love the gospel. It's referred to as the gospel of grace. It's just simply the gospel. And this is what we're looking at. How many are glad for Jesus today? You do all right with that? All right, I love this stuff. Can you tell? Here he says, when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain scribes sitting there, like in many churches, when Jesus does something like this, and they got angry and indignant, and they piped up and interrupted and said, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, and he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise, take up thy bed and walk, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins? Boy, how religion has worked hard to turn that around. I don't know about you, but right now I think you ought to drop your Bible on your lap and lift your hands. Come on all over this house. How many are glad today for the precious blood of Jesus? Hallelujah, that was shed. Hallelujah. The only priest who, when he was finished, sat down. For it truly was finished. Come on all over the house. We worship you. We honor you and thank you for who you are. Cleansing blood. Power in the blood. I went to a church seminar a few years ago. Church growth seminar. They told me don't ever mention the blood on Sunday morning. It freaks newcomers out. So with that thought in mind, come on, I will worship you, Jesus. I thank you for the blood that was shed, that flowed down Calvary's tree. For the blood that made the difference. For the blood without which there is no remission of sin. For the blood that makes the difference. Cleansing fount of God. Whoa, and there's power in the blood. Let's say it again one more time. Power in the blood of Jesus. How many are glad for the blood that cleanses? I love John's word. He says in 1 John 1:7, he says this: if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, are we politically incorrect enough yet? Come on. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us perpetually from unrighteousness. Cleansing flow. Aren't you glad for the blood? Feeling a little feisty this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for the blood? Now, Joseph Prince, what a tremendous article. This is found in josephprince.com, blog, articles, inspiration. You want to find it for yourself, because there's a number of them. Inspiration and stories for grace-based living. This is Glorious Grace Day 7. And the name of it is Forgiveness Opens the Door, based on this scripture right here. He opens up with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, which says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And then he begins to write. I love this article. Because you say, well, what does all this law and grace and works and faith and what does all this do? Isn't this just old stuff? You're going to find out that so much of what religion has become is the gospel plus a lot of stuff that just brings people right back in bondage. There are a lot of new covenant believers that are back living under old covenant law. We're going to show that not only do we struggle with this today, but it's been what the enemy has attempted from the word. Gentlemen, start your engines. It's always been there. All right? So, cruel words, he says, spoken in anger. A betrayal of trust. Promises broken. He just hit everybody in the room. A destructive relationship you knew you should not have entered into. Have you ever been down those dark paths before? There are so many people who are living in the shadow of guilt and condemnation. The mistakes of their past haunt them, and it is a painfully lonely and arduous journey for them. Perhaps the paralyzed man who was let down through the roof by his four faithful friends in the book of Mark understood little of this. The Bible tells us he was paralyzed to the point where he could only lie on a mat, which was how his friends carried him to the house Jesus was in. With the man lying inert on his mat, his four friends lowered him through the roof right in front of Jesus. The only way they knew how to bring their crippled friend before Jesus and secure his healing. The scripture tells us that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." To all who were watching this scene unfold that day, that must have been a very strange thing for Jesus to say, "Your sins are forgiven you." If you're new here, this whole theme is new. If you hear nothing else, hear this. How he loves you today. How, because of the complete work of his Son, he no longer looks at your sin. The Bible says God so loved the world in its fallen state when we were in darkness and trespasses, separated. It was at that time he loved us and made a way. His sin, our sin, did not stop his love. Now, I mean, he's got an answer for sin. His name is Jesus, and the more you see Jesus, the more it'll fall off of you. But the more you try to peel it off, the bigger mess you'll make. You ever seen a baby lose the stuff out of his diaper? A nice, clean, cute little crib, and try to fix the situation himself? I can smell it right now. You need help. But Jesus knew it was exactly what this poor man needed to hear for his healing to manifest. And indeed, Jesus' next words, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." The paralyzed man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. What had transpired? Jesus saw, when no one else could, that the man needed to hear. In here this morning. Some of you think you got a hold of this guy. You read Destined to Reign and you got it. This comes as we walk with Jesus in layers. We just can't absorb it all. I don't think we ever will. I'm not even sure we're supposed to. For Ephesians 2 declares, for the ages to come, it will be God's own. You want to hear something that blesses him? To reveal for ages to come the glory of his grace. It's just going to continue to unwrap and to unwrap a covenant of kindness, Isaiah says, that shall be forever. That's your Bible. Are you here today? My beloved friend, if you're paralyzed by a sense of condemnation over something in your past, I want you to know beyond any doubt that God is not withholding your breakthrough from you. He loves you, understands your pain and suffering, has forgiven you through the cross. He wants you to know that your past does not have to poison your future. No matter how many dark days you've experienced, God has prepared many wonderful open doors of opportunity, favor, and good success for you to walk through in the days ahead. Your brightest and most glorious days are still ahead of you. He has here today's thought. My past does not poison my future. God has prepared many wonderful open doors of opportunity, favor, and good success for me to walk through in the days ahead. How many can grab a hold of that in Jesus' name? What about the rest of you? Should we do an altar call? How many grab a hold of that right now in Jesus' name? All over the room. That's for me. This is why we are dealing with this theme. So I wanted to, once again, and we'll use different things like that as we move through, because I want to keep us centered on Jesus. This must never become a message or a theme or a list of tenets, or we'll do exactly the opposite of what we are attempting to do. With that said, turn in your Bibles finally in our closing moments, which you know doesn't mean anything. Closing moments can last for 40 minutes. All right? Turn to the book of Galatians. Have you enjoyed this morning already? Yes. I'm here glad for Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Galatians. I'll tell you what. Between the book of Romans and Galatians. Brother Womack put it this way. In fact, I think I have. Let me look here real quick. Well, we'll do that later. Oh, here it is right here. He says about the book of Romans. This is kind of a different direction, but he says, the book of Romans is Paul's masterpiece on the study of grace. The book of Galatians is the strongest teaching on the subject. Paul takes off the gloves. So this is his article on Galatians. Paul takes off the gloves and gets brutal in this teaching about the grace of God. I believe that a study on the grace of God from the book of Galatians combined with the teaching from Romans could be a 1-2 punch that knocks out condemnation in your life. Praise the Lord. This is what we're after. That man received a miracle that day because he understood that what Jesus was preaching is your sin and your failure is not stopping my ability to respond to your faith. Over and over. Boy, I saw some people get upset when I did that series. It was hard for me to preach. But it's still the truth. I did a series. How many remember it? It lasted for 3 or 4 weeks. One of my shorter ones. I called it Only Believe. Do you remember? Boy, it was a choker for some people. Jesus, over and over, to people who were not born again, did not have their act together, didn't even appear to repent. He simply told them, when they responded to good news, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. And we see that those who believed, not only did they receive a miracle, but there was a change in their life. Zacchaeus, according to the law. Rebecca pointed this out to me. What a revelation from the Holy Spirit. Zacchaeus was a midget. Under the law, he couldn't qualify for any of the holy rites. He was imperfect. And Jesus, a new kind of Jewish rabbi, knew him by name, where he sat up in a tree where he could see, said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. We don't know what happened inside of those doors, but a new man emerged. He heard, no doubt, the same thing that Jesus told everybody else. And he came out saying, all that I have stolen. Finally, a tax guy was honest. All that I have stolen, I will return fourfold. You get a hold of His goodness. Repentance and adjustment is a beautiful, wonderful. You ever been really out? How many in here believe in chiropractors? Have been helped by chiropractors. Now, you know, people say, oh, they're a bunch of quacks and all that bone thing. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm sure like anything else, dentists and doctors and mechanics and you name it, there's always bad apples. But I'll tell you what, there's been a few times in my life where I've had guys that didn't try to coax me into coming back forever and ever and milking our bank account. But I had bad hurt on a particular job. I was so mad at that sow, I was going to kill her. And I took a fence post and took a swing at her head because she'd come at me several times. And true story, and I missed, and it threw my back clear, completely out of place. I deserved it. And I was crawling. And a chiropractor put that back where it belonged. Man, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Miracle. Okay, anyway. When something's out of adjustment and you're hurting, and somebody knows where it belongs and they can put it back in place. Man, it hurts when they're putting it back in place sometimes, but the release and the relief. And sometimes it is so hard for us to let go of security. You've heard me say it many times in here. In Honduras, true story, they catch monkeys by taking a glass jug. You know these water bottles? The glass? I think they're all plastic now. The great big 5-gallon, you know, that they put in the dispensers, you know what I'm talking about? Well, they'll take them and they'll attach them to a tree, and they'll either put a red ball down inside of it. Most of the time, it'll be a banana. And they'll catch these monkeys and sell them on the black market. And the way they do it is those monkeys will reach down in there and grab a hold of that thing, and they will not let go. Could we all repeat together in here today? I'm not a monkey. I didn't come from monkeys. How about it, Brother Dave? We didn't come from monkeys. No way, Jose. All right? So I can let go of the banana, knowing that whatever he asks for, he'll put something better in its place called freedom. Say with me one more time, I'm not a monkey. I'm not going to hang on to sin. Oh, I can open up and trust him. Greater things in store for those who believe. Where in the world was I? Okay. Woo, that's good news. It's time to put healing to work. So those of you who are coming out on Sunday nights, got a hold of some good stuff. Some of this group needs to be up in here in this line with me. We don't have to get all into this major organization. You know who they are. They need to get up here and help me release the power of God and watch miracles pop. And I guarantee you, the more I preach this, coupled with the knowledge of His ability to heal, you may not know it, but we've had people in here that had to rush to the Mayo, calling, crying, with a hole in their heart. Literal. Fleecers. X-rays all over the place showing it. By the time they got there, was utter confusion because they had the list of X-rays from here and the ones they took down there for an emergency surgery. And everybody was befuddled and confused because the hole had closed. And those people to this day, they went from a nominal relationship with the Lord to a living relationship with Jesus. I've had people that got mad and left here because of my political view. Didn't offend God what their political view was, because that lady walked out of here slated for a full knee replacement. Now, if you've had a knee replacement, thank God for it. I'm so glad for what doctors can do. But you know what? We can stand and believe God for greater than what they do. Are you here today? There's no condemnation in that. I've encouraged some people. Go get your knee replaced and trust God. But I've also seen somebody get a hold of the love of God, in spite of the confusion in their head, only believe principle in a living effect, and walk out of here mad at my politics, but with a brand new knee. Now that doesn't make sense to me. If I was God, I'm not kidding. This is documented. All right? These are just little here and there's. I don't believe God's into just little here and there's. But I believe it's time for people to get their eyes off men, off of the special anointed ones, including me, and realize that every one of you are special and anointed. And the kingdom of God lives in you according to the word of God. And everything you need exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think is on the inside of you. The more you get a hold of this truth, the more you'll be able to release it. And I got news, a good news for you about the grace message as well. If you never get it right, and you never can get your brain around the faith thing, are you here today? God's not mad at you. He doesn't think less of you. In your own struggle, you can pray for somebody else boldly. I don't understand it. But God is not embarrassed by anything, and nothing takes him off guard. I don't think this has ever come in his mouth. Oh. Jesus, I didn't see that one coming. So you stand and you grow. Take what you can. Amen. Boy, I'm a mess this morning, but I'm having fun. Galatians 1, verse 1. Everybody go, oh, finally. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. That's pretty bold. And God the Father who raised him from the dead. They preached that over and over and over and over again because that's where the gospel begins and ends, right there. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Let me read it in modern vernacular. I'm blown away that you have been so easily moved away from the true gospel, which is not another. But there would be some that trouble you and would pervert. The word pervert there, underline it, is the Greek word metastrepho. It means to turn, or to turn around, or to turn one's back on. As someone who no longer cares for another. That brings a little clearer picture. because we have other connotations for pervert. So it changes it. It waylays. It turns away. It turns around. It puts enough, there's enough truth coupled with error. We turn left at the yield sign instead of right, and we wonder why we're on a road that, man, it was so wonderful knowing Jesus, and I got born again, and so many things were happening. It seemed like every time I prayed, God answered my prayer, and now all of a sudden I'm in bad trouble. Which is not another, but there are some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, he includes himself. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, I want to stop right there. Because if we read the King James and we read it in a modern understanding, we're going to be very confused. Paul is not cursing people. He had no power, nor did he want power to curse people. You got to study the full, like I have. Study it out. You want to argue with me this morning? I'll listen to your argument when you let me know you've gone into a full study of this and understand the way words are used. The word here is anathema in the Greek. If that took you off guard, then you're not qualified to argue with me this morning. You're qualified to go do some study. And the way that word has changed, in the beginning it means set aside for holy things, way back. Eventually it became, understand, being set aside as something that was not holy. I mean, this thing, words like all of our words in English, they change. In this thing, he's not cursing or sending somebody to hell. But he is saying, turn away. Set this one aside. Don't yield to what they're saying. This is anathema. If you understand the way the word was used in his day and age, the way that he was handling it, he's not cursing. This would fly in the face of everything else that he preached. Are you with me? He's saying, let this one be put away. Turned aside. Set aside what they're saying. It's not good. Do you understand? Anathema. You can look it up for yourself. This doesn't mean that Paul had the power. This is where you get in trouble. This is where a number of different major groups get into trouble. Don't have the power to curse people. Nor would Paul even be that kind of individual. He's using a word that they tried the best they could to translate. And what he's saying, let this one be, in other terms, a little stronger, but it still fits. Ban this one. Don't yield to this. And we see this in Paul's behavior in the following verses. Why is this important? Because of what I just read you, the article of Joseph Prince and what we looked at in Mark 2. If you see the gospel, there's healing, forgiveness, restoration, deliverance. Amen. Aren't you glad for Jesus? All right, so here we go. For though we and an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let this one be turned away, put aside, if you would, banned from any power of teaching. This is a lot clearer. You understand? As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that which you've received, let him be, and there it is again, anathema, accursed. Make sure you mark that one. He uses this terminology in 1 Corinthians. Mark them. Set them aside. Don't fellowship. Don't receive. This is error. He gets pretty fired up about it too. He says, for do I now persuade men or God to seek? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. Then he makes an incredible statement. He said, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now I want to stop right there just for a moment. And I realize that some is a little heavy for Sunday morning, but I'm tired of this, you know, keeping the deep stuff for midweek, and then Sunday morning we just sugarcoat and hope for the best. This, we're a body. This is where we grow. that one of the things that we hear often is that Jesus appeared to him personally and said, look, all this may be this way, but I'm telling you personally, Paul, this is the real gospel. How many know that that's fraught with trouble? Could it have happened? Sure, I have no problem with that. Could it have been that sort of a thing? I have no problem with that. But there are those who adamantly say, Paul's gospel is true, and there are others that are arguing right now, Paul's stuff ought to be thrown out. Major theologians, okay, ought to be thrown out. He was in error. So this is goofy arguments. Because people just get so, you know, and we just think we know. Listen, let's just take the Word of God right in the original Greek for what it said. He said, I didn't receive this from any man. He didn't say Jesus appeared to him physically or in an open vision. He might have, like I said, have no trouble with that. But that's not what he said. What he said is absolutely powerful and is available to every believer right now. He didn't say Jesus showed up, scratched his head and patted his back and said, I'm delivering to you something different than everybody else. For he is the one who said there is no private interpretation. What he said is what he said. These things I know by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ revealed through his word, changed everything in my life. I didn't receive it from a man or anybody else, but I got a revelation of Jesus Christ, and it changed my life. Just read what it says. We get so goofy and mystical. We want to have our popes and our great evangelists and our anointed ones. Paul over and over again said, I'm an apostle the least. He was not saying, now you all, you bunch of dum-dums, I want you to know that I had a special visitation. He just got through saying, if we are an angel, that's not where he's going. Jesus appeared to me. A guy that I love with all of my heart, whose ministry changed my life, had a visitation from the Lord that said that he would not see death, but Jesus would come back before he died. He passed away in 2001. We get goofy. Stick with the Word. The Word does not say that he appeared physically to Paul and gave him an inside track. What Paul said was, hallelujah, Sherry. I got a revelation of him. How many are interested in a new and beautiful revelation of who he is? Hallelujah. I like it up here. No wonder you can't get your friends to come back twice. If I'd ever behave. Okay, so here we go. He said, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hand this morning today and say, thank you, Lord, for a deeper and greater revelation of who you are in me. For me and through me. Hallelujah. Time us to sing that song, Lori. Right? For you've heard of my conversation. He's talking about my lifestyle, the way I live. In past times in Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. And profited in the Jew religion of, above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. The Catholic Church wrongfully has set men up, the whole Pope system, because of an improper understanding of what these revelations are all about. The Apostle Paul, people think, oh, Jesus, I mean, he went right by the 11, or 12, but 11. He went right by them and said and dumped the real stuff on Paul. Oh, that's silly. That's silly. Paul knew the Word. He knew the Old Covenant. He was zealous. People also say about Paul, he was just, they put him on like he's God. Sorry, Paul was not God. He was not deity. He was a mighty man of God, anointed just like you and I. Special anointing for the inception of the church. Oh my gosh, greatest missionary to date that ever lived. I got all that, but he wasn't deity. And he made sure people knew repeatedly that that was not true. I love that about Paul. Everything went to Jesus. But see, religion tends to want to prop men up and set, we want our heroes. As long as we got a hero, we can pay him to do it. When he said, go ye into all the world. We got one hero, it's Jesus. And he's alive on the inside of you. But we want to prop up. Now, I'm not saying we don't give honor where honor is due. And there are places in the church. But these are places of ministry, which means servanthood. Not lording over. We got things really turned upside down. So then the other thing they say about Paul is that he was different and special. Different than all of us. Special. God dealt with him on a different basis. See, when you hear that, we have error. Paul himself said, don't do that to me. He laid himself out plain. The other thing is, well, God loved Paul so much that he did for others what he'd never do for him. He knocked him off his horse. Well, first off, we don't know that he was on a horse, but we do know that he was knocked on his fanny. And that God spoke in his life. People say, see, why doesn't God do that for other people? Well, he does do that for other people. There were extreme measures for an extreme situation, and that is this. Paul says of himself in Philippians 3, I was a Jew among Jews, circumcised on the eighth day. He says that he was, concerning the law, he was perfect. That means in the doing of the law, he did it all perfectly. How many believe Paul's not a liar? Paul is saying, I was zealous. Paul's whole life was built, everything about him was built towards his perception of who Elohim was. Everything in him, to the point of anger and contending for what he understood as the church. Everything. He wasn't just some crazy mongrel out there just killing people wantonly. He was defending his God and defending his Israel and reaching with everything he had on the inside of him. And my Bible says, if you seek the Lord, you're going to find him. And holy schmoly, did he ever find him. How many know he's not lost? He found us. And that's what we see with Paul. All of us have had a similar experience. We may not have been that hard and that indifferent. We may have grown up in a different culture, sensitive to the things of God, etc., etc., etc. But God didn't just pick Paul. Paul, with everything he had, was pursuing his understanding of God. And God said, just like he did with Cornelius, hairy-legged, heathen, Gentile soldier, centurion, not born again, Cornelius, you've been asking for me. I can tell because your alms and your giving have come up before me. It's telling me of your heart and your desire to know me. They've come up before me as a sweet-smelling savor, and I'm getting ready to answer your call and invade your life. Whosoever shall call. It looks different. Upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul here says, I received this gospel of grace by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And how I wished I had 2 more hours today. Right there where you're sitting, we're done. I'm not done, but we're done for today. Whew, did you get something out of this today? It's going to get richer, so get ready. When you begin to see Jesus revealed, in verses next week, we'll pick up right there in Galatians, we'll see that Paul got pretty rowdy about this and lays out black and white what is works, what is law, and what is faith, and what that faith is unto. Get ready. Bring somebody as we get to know Jesus better and walk in that power. Amen. Right there where you're sitting all over the house, would you one more time lift up your hands? Father, we thank you for this precious, precious group of people. Not because I say so, but because you say so. Today our hearts are stirred. It's like we're opening up a book of the story of your love once again, and we haven't even got past the forward, and our spirit man is just leaping and jumping. This is right. This is good. Walk in it. I believe you've made it clear to us that it is your goodness that leads me to a place of repentance. Like the Apostle Paul, everybody in here, you got your hands raised, or if you can't, right there where you're sitting and praying with me, one more time, say, thank you, Jesus, that you reveal yourself to me. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I speak over this body that cancer will just be literally driven out as the knowledge of sins forgiven goes to a whole new, deeper place. I thank you that disorder and dysfunction, body, family, financial, whatever, that's blocking us from fulfilling what God has called us to do, I think it has no power over those who get a revelation of who you are. And I declare over our people one more time, now unto you, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. I don't need more. I need revelation of what I got. So today, like never before, we open up our hearts to receive. Teach us, Lord. Holy Spirit, great teacher, sent from Jesus himself to reveal truth. I open my heart and my life to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A perverted gospel will be exposed and truth revealed that sets men free is alive in me. For these things we give you great thanks. Stand to your feet this morning, would you, as we're dismissed. Hallelujah, Lord. Woo, man, isn't this awesome? The peace of God in here right now. What a beautiful thing. As your people go this morning, Father, we thank you for each and every one. Let revelation begin to flow. I speak it over these people, every man, woman, and child, Father God, in Jesus' name. An opening. Father, I thank you that religion no longer locks me in. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And if you believe that, would you shout amen this morning? Amen. Altars are open at